Good morning.
Good morning.
There are three different readings today. The one is from Exodus 34, verses 27 through 30. The Lord said to Moses, "Write these words. In accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking to God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin on his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. The next reading is from Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. "And he let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and the spiritual songs of God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The final reading is from Luke 19, verses 38 through 42, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these words were silent, the stone would not shout out." As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Blessed is the reading.
I want to thank Kathy for reading, and I'm not sure if the typo for the New Testament reading is mine or in the bulletin, but it's the story of Mary and Martha that I wanted to address with you today, and so I direct your ears to listen to Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, the New International Version. You know the story. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, Jesus came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God, let your spirit go out from here. Let your word be with it, that it might enter in our hearts and take root in our minds and lives, that we might indeed find the way to abundant life forever with you. Amen. A busy Christian man was very hard at work, and he was growing in impatience. His anxiety was rising. He was really troubled, and he said, "I know this about myself," and I stopped to pray. And so his prayer went like this: "God, I have asked you and asked you as nicely as I can at least 100 times to make me a better person, but I guess you just don't have the time." Here is a man who is angry even in the presence of God. And so is a busy Christian woman who we meet today, Martha, when Jesus comes to her house for dinner. Dinner with Martha and Mary, the sister, and Jesus. But you know, someone's coming to dinner, so chop chop, you got to get things ready. I mean, you know, you got to sweep and cook and clean and plan and set the table and seat people and serve people and make sure everybody's happy and clean up afterwards. It's a good meal in a good place with very special people. It will be stressful, but it will be worth it. And who in our world doesn't love the Martha-type people? Those people get praise God for all the Martha type A. Give it to that person. If you want something done, that person will do it. Cheers for the doers in the world, right? They really care. They care enough to get it done. And it is said, if you want to be appreciated, when somebody asks you, how are you? You say, busy. And you are rewarded right there. They love you. Everything's cool. And Martha, she knows what Jesus said once, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. And there are so many good things that we are called through the Spirit of God sent out from this place after the resurrection has happened to do in our lifetimes. I'll help with the children. I'll take care of the parents. I'll deal with the pets. I'll deal with the yard, the car, the bills. I'll play the program. I'll do the buildings and the grounds. What would we do without people who are doing good in the world as we are called and sent by the Spirit to do? Unless you are agitated and weary or complaining or anxious in the doing. As is Martha today. Jesus, she says, could you make Mary get up from here right now and help me serve you? She's driving me crazy, just so you know. And Jesus does not do this today. Instead, he compares one sister to the other, which is usually not a very good thing to do. I have a sister. Don't tell me she looks better in that dress than I do. Comparing usually increases the anxiety. It usually increases the division. It's not a good thing. You know, she's better than you are. You know, you should be more like him. Why can't you do what she does? You know, Mary has chosen the better part, Martha. And it will not be taken away from her. Jesus does not do this with the prodigal sons. He doesn't do this with Peter and James, Peter and Andrew, James and John. But Jesus does not pit one sister against the other to divide them. Jesus has come to their house to save them. Jesus has come to teach all of us something about ourselves, because I can be Mary one day and Martha the next, or any minute, doing and sitting. All of us can, men and women alike. The Christian artist in the 17th century, Johannes Vermeer, he painted this story from Luke 10. Martha is in a room, and she is dressed very well in fine clothing, all pressed and nice and clean. And a sense of intense quiet is over that whole painting. There's shadows, and one stream of light comes in through a window, through open golden curtains that are also clean and well pressed. Martha stands there in the room in the picture, but she's not in the center of the picture. She's off center. And in the center of the painting, there's a table, and two boxes are sitting on the table. One of the boxes is empty, and Martha is holding the contents of it, a scale. And she's looking at it very intently, like she's waiting for something to come into balance. The other box on the table has coins and pearls spilling out of it all over the table, signifying the things of this world, the things you have to tend to, the things you have in your possession. Martha is still in a quiet place in this room, and the other hand is pointing to a mirror. And mirrors signify either looking at how things are, how things appear, or they can be to examine yourself, to look a little closer at yourself, to rearrange yourself. And behind Martha in the picture is another painting on the wall in the picture. And the painting, you can see Christ, bright, brilliant, in the clouds, like he comes when he comes to judge the living and the dead. And down at the bottom of that picture are souls. The dead souls are being gathered on the left, and the saved souls are being gathered on the right. And Martha's head is right in the middle of the two sets of souls. Is she being lost or is she being found? Is she being lost or is she being saved? The story of Martha and Mary and Jesus is a story about balancing your life and getting things in right order. This negative tension, we all know it. It fills all of our lives. This very real pull that we feel between, I'm here, but I think I ought to be there. Or, no, I can't stop to rest. I can't get to church. I can't play with you. I have to work. Ugh. This whole state of being, I am full of fear. I wish I wasn't afraid, but I'm full of fear. It's this chain of thoughts and images. They run through your head. All these what ifs, all negative outcomes, scary, scary future, and I'm responsible for it. Like Martha must be. What if I forget the oil for the lamps when they come? What if I don't have enough water to wash their feet when they come? What if I drop the fish, and then what will we eat? What will I do? What do I wear? And Jesus hopes a smile. And what do I say? And Jesus hopes, welcome, Jesus. I'm so glad you're here. Do come in. Stress and anxiety fill up the world and Martha, which is why Jesus says what he says to us in Matthew. Do not worry about tomorrow. Today's worries are enough for today. Because you see, worries are already built into the system. They're built into you and me too. They're built in here to make us tend to things, to make us get up, enough to make us get involved in life, a reason to live. Do not add any more to it, Jesus said, which is why he adds two questions to us in Matthew's gospel also. He says, one, can worry add a single second to your life? He says a single hour, not second. Why doesn't he say second? It's the smallest amount of time. A single hour, he says. Because you need a little bit of worry, but not too much. Second question, can worry raise up your life one cubit? Why doesn't he say span? Span is the smallest amount of measurement they had. A cubit was to measure from the tip of the elbow to the tip of the middle third finger, a cubit. A span was to measure from the baby fingertip to the thumb tip, a span. He doesn't say a span, he says a cubit. Too much worry is bad for your life. Too little worry is bad for your life. Worry gets some things done. But worry likes to pretend that it's very, very necessary in large quantities. But it only serves to alert you to something, to wake you up to something, and then you're supposed to send it away. Too much worry can ruin your dinner parties. The word worry comes from the old English wiergen. Worry. It means to seize by the throat, freeze, paralyze, tear. And the sample sentence in the Old English Dictionary is the dog is worrying with his bone. Not a good image for human beings. What do you worry about in your life? Because there is plenty to worry about. Do you worry about children? Parents? Do you worry about finances, health? Do you worry about relationships, retiring, somebody in college, this year at school, this year at work, the state of the church, death, failing something, getting a bad report about something, something you did a long time ago, your home, peace and security in the land, the price of milk and eggs, your father, your safety, your mother, the weather. It goes on and on. So I took a survey in my house and I asked my family members, tell me your top three worries, top three worries. My husband said, money, children, parents, and you. I said, me, dear? He said, yes, you. Oh. I asked my daughter. She's been married a year. She said, a job, husband, future family, financial security. I asked my son. He said, he's in college. He said, relationship, school, career, job, house, car. I asked my mother-in-law, she's 92 years old, enough money to get to the end, taking care of George, her father, her husband, who's wheelchair-bound, grandchildren, slow death with pain, and losing my mind. Everybody said more than three. Stress and worry, they are universal, never-ending experiences, never-ending. And today they fill up the world with Martha, but not Mary. Socrates said, beware the barrenness of a busy life. Beware the barrenness of a busy life. Mary does not lift one finger in this whole dialogue. She does not say one word in this whole dialogue. She does not offer to help in any kind of way. She does not defend herself against her sister's accusations. She does not come back at her sister. She just sits at the feet of Jesus, which is the learning position for a student and a disciple, a follower. Like everything he says is everything to her, and there is nothing else. And did you notice? No worries right there. No strife, no struggle, just right there in that crazy house. The bread of life is here, Martha, but you do not have it. Mary has it. I bring it to you, Martha. And Jesus knows of Martha's real fears and her real hungers. And it is why he has come to their house today, why he comes to your house, my house, anybody's house, to give you life, to fill where you are hungry. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Martha. And it is not how many dishes you serve well, but is how well you are when you serve the dishes. Peace is necessary to be happy. And love is not to be against someone, but to be there with them. So where did I forget the peace? And where did I lose the joy and the love? Someone in the healing business speaks about the effects of worry on patients. And one said to the doctor, I don't feel well ever. I have chronicness. I am chronically not happy. I am chronically complaining. I chronically complain and ache. I am chronically exhausted. I almost like my life, but not fully. I almost love everybody, but not really, because I'm never really fully there. I'm sending you 100 red roses for our anniversary, darling. But he was all that she wanted. I got you everything you want, everything you want. But there was no rejoicing in either of them. Which is why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, they'll be added to you. They'll be added to you. Joy and peace and love and rejoicing and good dinner parties. Christ in your house, Christ in your sibling scuffles, Christ in your dinner party preparations, Christ in your room, Christ in your good doing, Christ not only in the scales of your life, but first in the scales of your life. I know that I am not Martha or Mary. I am Martha and Mary, and so are you. Being comes first. Being with God and human is second. When I know this, then I know that the good doing comes from the good being and not the other way around. It is not by accident that it takes two words to say who we are, human plus beings. Human comes from the word humus. It means of the earth. Of all the part of the lively created order of all things we are, all things that are in time, all things that are tending and growing from the ground up and producing and taking care of and lifting up and holding things together and serving, all that gets stressed and pulled and questioned and shocked and surprised and does not last. Do I do it with love? Do I do it with goodwill? Do I do it with cheer? Being is that part of me that does not do the doing, but sees what the doing is doing all around me and to me. Being is what wants me to be happy and well and content and free from the troubled life. Wants me to love and to be loved. Being. Being is eternal. Human wears thin and goes down to the earth. Be careful what you put first. I know how to live a more balanced life, like Martha is contemplating in that picture. Because I know where home really is. I belong to God. I belong to Christ, just as Christ rose to tell me and ascended and left me the Spirit to go home. And said, where I am, there you will be also. Follow me. And when I know this, there is great, great peace, and nothing can take that peace away from you. No, it will not be taken away from you. Mary has it. Martha, I came to give it to you too. Thomas A. Kempis said, this world is not about peace and rest. These we find as we dwell with God, as we sit down with Jesus Christ. How? Well, Luke tells us in the chapter before 10 and chapter 9, we get the story of the Good Samaritan. Get your brother out of the ditch. He's fallen. Help him. Go and do likewise. And the chapter after 10 in Luke 10 is 11, and that chapter is all about prayer. And the friend asked the friend for bread at midnight, knocking on that door until the friend gets up and gives him or her the bread. And you get it every time you ask. It is said that Moses' face was radiant when he came down from that mountain because he had been talking with Yahweh God. Receiving those 10 words, out of all the words, get it down to 10 words. And he came down and he saw the people that had already started with another god, making a little golden calf, dancing around, having a party. And he got so angry he threw those tablets down and dashed them. Then he had to go back up that mountain again. And another time, stay, commune, be with God, don't even drink. And he got those 10 words again, and he came back down, and he gave them to the people, to us. The school teacher said, you know, I'd like to be with God more, I'd like to pray more, but my life is so tiring, when I get to the end of the day with those children, I fall asleep in my prayer. And I said, you know what, you're likely praying in action, you're praying all day long. And I could say that to him because there was no complaint in him. There was no worry and anxiety in him. It was very clear that the students felt the same way too, those whom he taught. And he had the love of God flowing from God to him, through him, to them, and loved his work. So I try to tell a lot of people who have big responsibilities, lots of things to think about, things they have to take care of, they require a lot from you. That there are ways to pray that don't exhaust you more but fill you up. That they don't always come. Genuine prayers don't always come with the formal prayers we pray, our Father. Sometimes they come like this. When my dad got cancer 3 years ago now, he had to go fishing. Right after he taught the adult men's Sunday school class, he had to go fishing. He had to do that to be well inside for whatever the circumstances of his life were and were going to be. Dad and God talked closely while fishing, and every time Dad came home, his face was bright. Which is why in Matthew's Good News, Jesus says, literally, go outside and look at the flowers. Go look at the birds and see how it is for all of life, for all of nature. You are part of it. Go out and God's handiwork will do something to you every time because it's instinctual, you know? The Mary Martha types that we are. The birds, the flowers, they do not toil, they do not spin, and yet they have pests, they have predators, they have the red hawk, they have the beetle. They have to deal with the seasons and things that they need, the wind, the rain, the soil, the air in the right amounts. They have to make a home, they have to feed their children, they have to eat and drink every day. And yet they are there in glory and splendor for their part in creation just as they are created to be. And we love to see them. We take comfort in seeing them swaying in the wind, out in the garden, up in the sky, soaring. And those birds, they sing for you and me every morning for God. No matter what happened the night before, they sing every morning. Why not you? Why not you too? At some time or another, something will make you stop in your life and listen for God. You may not know exactly what it is, you'll just feel it. Or you may know exactly the time and the place and the event that makes you stop and listen for God. Something to gauge my thoughts and my emotions. Something to trust that's going to take care of me all the way. Something to help me with my relationships, you know, my stress, my worries, my circumstances of my life, my death. Something to give me meaning to what I do today. And both Matthew and Luke say, go to the source of life itself. Come, sit down, be with me in the presence of God. Be still and know that I am God. Got to get to the lake. Lap, lap, lap. It's just like our heartbeat. Ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. There's this phase of rest and renewal built into every single heartbeat. Got to get to the ocean because it rolls just like our breath. In a rhythm, in a balance of life, God is there in the creating and the sending out and the breathing and the coming back in and the recreating and sending out and the breathing and the coming back in the Holy Spirit of God. It is that God is there. And this is the working of the soul. And this is the working of the heart beyond its beat. All need this balance of life, this work and rest, rhythm. You are not well without it. Which is why the church says, 6 days work, 1 day rest. 6 days work, 1 day rest. Come in, sit down, be with me in the presence of God. And we're told, you are forgiven. Go out now, serve the Lord. The peace of Christ, let it rule in your hearts. Go out there now into the world and come back. I say, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Now go out now and pour yourself out and come back in. I will fill you with peace. I will keep you in rest. I give you these things. I come to your house. prayer and word, song and silence, praise and blessing. Go and come back. For your doing, your being first, for your Martha Mary selves. Margo's a teenager. She came and spoke to the church a couple years ago. Very moving story, because she lost both her parents on one night. And she said to me, when I'm really low in spirits, when I'm really afraid, when I'm missing both of them terribly, I'm not thinking about God. I'm thinking more about myself and what's going to happen to me and to my little sister and to my brother. And she said, and that's when I hear God say, Margo, just stay with me. And she said, when I hear that voice from God, I do feel better, but I'm not fully persuaded, because who knows what can happen between the time when the sun sets and the sun rises again on the next day. And she said, that's when I hear God say, come out, and I have to go for a walk. I need more strength, and I need more peace, and I walk. And just when I'm about ready to give up, God is there, and it is okay. The teenager said, it is okay. Can you hear God in your life like that? Above all the world's fever and your busy life, can you be happy and at peace in your doing? Because it is very hard to be Mary when you live in a Martha world like we do. And maybe we need to get out the calendar and reprioritize things and make some space and reorganize our lives to be well. I know when I am with God, I am more compassionate. There's less fear in me. There's more joy and less self that wants to be rewarded for all my doing. Less of me that's trying to cram and stuff 169 hours into a week that has 168 hours in it every week. And I try to do it with more coffee and less sleep. And I am not well. When I am with God, anxiety, it gets taken up every time into faith and a deep trust and breathing. And then praise, it just comes out of you. You don't have to write down three things I'm thankful for every day. It just falls out of you because the Spirit is feeding you, because you've come to ask. And it is, as St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until we rest them in Thee. Our hearts are restless until we rest them in Thee. Or Bruce Springsteen said, everybody has a hungry heart. Everybody needs a place to rest. If you can meet with God and you know why you do, then you will find one of the greatest secrets to life. Human being, God with me. Please tell everybody you meet this secret. Amen.